Jesus Christ, let's just get this over with, Rodney said the minute they were through the door. He yanked off his tack vest and pack and threw them on the chair next to the door. It wasn't much of a ritual blessing chamber. John had been prepared for big pillows and candles and incense. On P6X815, Ronan had had to ritually anoint Taylor in order to allow her to enter the Temple of the Ancestors. There had been a lot of silky bedding and marble and little bowls of oil and heavy, hushed silence in the room when John and Ronan had swept it for weapons. And Ronan had come out of the room at the end of it with oil up past his elbows, blissed out and quiet. The Skolan chamber looked like a rustic Best Western, like an Econo Lodge in a not very prosperous part of Nevada or Colorado. One lumpy bed in the middle of the two small room. The bedspread was floral and scratchy under John's hands when he sat down. "Fine," he said. He meant to ask if Rodney wanted a blowjob right then, but Rodney was pulling his sweater off over his head, and John hadn't sucked a guy off in years. He wasn't even sure he knew how to do it without fucking up. "Are you just gonna sit there?" Rodney said. "I know you don't want to," Rodney said, glaring at him. "Objection noted, thanks." "Because I think you're right. It's important to make this situation as awkward as possible. Are you taking off your clothes, or do you plan to go back to Atlantis with semen all over you?" He turned away and yanked his shirt off over his head, crouched to unlace his boots. And John got his clothes off, fumbling, determined, and shoved them into a heap on the chest of drawers at the end of the bed. "Okay, how?" Rodney said, leaving his pants in a crumpled lump on the ground and turning back. He looked uncomfortable, harsh, his cheeks a dull red. There were red scars on his chest that hadn't been there the last time they'd fucked. They looked painful, hot to the touch. "On the bed?" Rodney said. John shrugged. "Great," Rodney muttered. "Dream date." "McKay, shut up," Rodney said. He was hard, his cock thick and curved, and then he nudged John's ankles apart with his knee and came down on top of John, his cock bumping and sliding right up over John's thigh, their hips grinding together, Rodney's breath hot on his temple, his body almost crushingly heavy. John exhaled quickly, his breath rough in his throat. Rodney touched him, curled one hand around his waist, and John lifted up underneath him, gasped when Rodney's fingers tightened a little, made a choked, messy noise against Rodney's shoulder, and then pressed his lips together hard. Rodney ignored him, or didn't hear. "I don't ever want to talk about this again," he said, staring past John, his eyes flat and impersonal. "I don't want to think about it. We're just going to take care of it, and then we'll put on our gear and go back to Atlantis and take a fucking shower." His voice was chopped, angry, but his fingers were warm and gentle on John's stomach, thumbs slapping down over the head of his cock. John shoved up against him and tried to get his own hand between them. "Don't touch me," Rodney said suddenly, his eyes snapping to John's face and then away. "I don't want you touching me." "Yeah, I'll try to avoid that," John said. He knew his face must be bright fucking red. His cheeks were burning, but his voice sounded fine at least. "You know what I mean," Rodney said. "McKay, will you just..." Rodney said, not looking at him, working him harder now, his other hand braced against the bed, his own cock sliding, neglected, against John's stomach. John shut up. He couldn't see Rodney's eyes, but he could see his forehead, his cheek, the corner of his mouth, the edge of his deep chest, and he could turn his face into the cradle of Rodney's shoulder. He paid close attention. He hadn't been able to see Rodney's face the last time, and it probably wasn't, well, obviously wasn't going to happen again, so... Shepherd, Rodney said sharply. Huh? Keep up. Rodney had been working both their cocks with one hand, rolling his hips a little, jostling his dick against John's. But now he dropped his own and wrapped one hot palm around John's. His hand was good. It was good. And John twisted one hand in the bedspread and tried to make it last. Maybe he grayed out a little when he came. He felt lightheaded, useless, watching Rodney bring himself off, his eyes closed, his chest heaving with effort. John lifted one hand, put it on Rodney's smooth hip, slid it up his side, reached for Rodney's face. Keep your hands to yourself, Rodney said. Sorry, John said, dropping his hands back to his sides, his stomach lurching with shame. It seemed to take a long time before Rodney groaned and pitched forward, came on John's legs, stomach, cock. He pressed John into the bed for a moment, panting hard, before rolling off him abruptly and cleaning himself on one of the stack of towels that had been left on a sideboard. He tossed another one on the bed next to John's hip and was already buckling his belt, his back to John, when John pulled himself together enough to sit up and start trying to clean himself up. You know, we're supposed to stay here all night, he said, for no good reason. Yeah, Rodney said, pulling his shirt over his head. That'll be a first for you, I guess. What's your problem, McKay? John said, yanking on his own pants. His hands wouldn't stop shaking. He was a mess. He should have let Taylor do this with McKay. Let her bring him up here and touch him. Wrap her legs around his waist and hold on. Kiss him. No problems here, Colonel, Rodney said. What's one more shitty lay? You said not to touch you. You shut the fuck up, Rodney said. I didn't want this and I don't want you. And I only did this because it was unconscionable to ask Ronan and Taylor when we'd already... Fine, John said. So don't think... I think you made it perfectly clear that you weren't interested months ago, John said, forcing himself to look Rodney in the face. You're goddamn right I did, Rodney said, pointing viciously. Wait, what? It's not a big deal, John said roughly. I don't mind. I know you don't feel... See you around, Rodney said. See you around is what you said. So I saw you around, Rodney said, biting off each word. And then you fucked the next girl you saw? You weren't supposed to find out about that. Well, great. I guess that makes it all better then, Rodney yelled. If you just wanted to fuck, I would have, any time. You didn't have to pretend. You didn't have to feed me some line about having a thing for me. Fine, John said. Sorry. Okay, Rodney said. Okay. John pulled on his sweater, which was brown and soft, one sleeve a little longer than the other. It was the newest thing he owned, and the cleanest. He hadn't even gotten blood on it yet. Fighting with Rodney was a fucking bad idea, especially about sex. Get a fucking grip, Shepherd, John thought. Mission objectives. Those vegetables would feed them for a month, and there were more where they came from. You want some food or something? Rodney said quietly, rifling through the boxes and bowls left on the sideboard. I'm fine, John said. He jerked the covers straight on the bed and forced himself to lie down on top of them. It was still light, the sun streaming in through the windows. High summer. He wasn't going to be able to sleep for hours. He smelled like Rodney. It was fine. Part of the job. Rodney ate a few crackers idly and then dug his laptop out of his pack. He looked at the rickety chair by the door, his face tightening wearily for a moment, and then squared his shoulders and sat down carefully on the other side of the bed, leaning back against the headboard. John closed his eyes and pretended to sleep. At first, he could only hear Rodney clicking impatiently at the mouse pad. All the little clicks and hums and muted bink-binks that meant the computer was moving too slowly to catch up to Rodney. But soon enough he settled down and started writing, keys tapping busily. It was soothing. John let his eyes close, dozed a little. He woke up in the dark, half underneath a blanket. His feet were freezing. The inside of his mouth was dank and sour. There was a small institutional bathroom where he held his hands under the thin trickle of scalding water and gave himself a long, freaked-out look in the mirror. As soon as they got back to Atlantis, he was going to start dating. Maybe one of the Athosians, or someone from Prem's crew. Some nice woman. Someone smart who wanted some babies. Someone he could move in with, maybe get married and have some kids after a while. That'd be great. Rodney was asleep on top of the covers, curled in tightly on himself, shivering. The tablet was on the floor, turned off, one light blinking in a lazy rhythm. "Wake up," John said. He could barely see Rodney in the pale light cast from the bathroom, and his breath was spidery white smoke between them. Rodney turned away, muttering sleepily. "McKay," John said, raising his voice. Rodney had had a bad bout of pneumonia a year ago, and still caught cold easily. "Come on, you need to..." John put one careful hand on Rodney's shoulder, and Rodney jerked awake. "What?" he said, too sharply. John pulled his hand back. "Fuck, it's really cold," Rodney said. "You need to get under the covers," John said. Rodney blinked at him, scrubbed one hand across his mouth. "Right, yeah," he said. "You too." There were two thin quilts in the chest at the foot of the bed. John dumped them on top of the blanket they already had, while Rodney scrambled underneath the covers. John's teeth were chattering by the time he slid back into the bed. Rodney turned on his side, facing the middle of the bed, and yanked the covers up higher over his shoulders, his breath harsh. The bathroom light flickered out, leaving them in the dark. John shook out one of the quilts and pulled it up to his ears. When he tried to spread it out, his hand brushed Rodney's bare arm. Rodney flinched. "Sorry," John said. It was too dark to see the expression on Rodney's face, but it was probably weary annoyance. John lay down and shoved his hands into his armpits instead. Rodney sighed. "I didn't... Your hands were cold," he said. "Said I was sorry," John said. "It's not a big deal." The wind howled fiercely outside, rattling the roof, cold air leaking in under the windows at the head of the bed. John tucked his face beneath the blanket and waited to warm up. Rodney was all shifting shadows and heat, even with the careful distance between them. John slid back until he could feel the edge of the mattress. "I'd like to apologize for what I said earlier," Rodney said evenly. John couldn't see it, but he could imagine the exasperated, determined twist of Rodney's mouth. "It was unprofessional. We have to work together and..." "Apology accepted," John said, cutting him off. Rodney shifted restlessly. John could just make him out, looking out at the luminescent dial on his wristwatch. "We'll be out of here soon," John said. "Yeah," Rodney said. "Then we can just forget about it, like you said." "Can't wait," Rodney said tightly. "Are you warm enough?" "Yes." "You can have my sweater if you want." "I'm fine." It's just in my pack. I know you get cold. I don't get cold. You're always cold. Mind your own fucking business, John said. Just leave me alone. Sorry, Rodney said. He rustled around some more. It let cold air in under the covers, and John gritted his teeth and didn't say anything. I didn't mean I'm sorry. It's fine. John, it's not a big deal. Yeah, Rodney said slowly, a little thoughtfully. You said that already. Well, sorry. You said that too. I'm tired, John said. Are you in love with me? Rodney said. Fuck off, John said grimly, without any real hope that Rodney would drop it. He turned over onto his stomach and pushed his face into the crook of his elbow. But I've been awake for 23 hours, John said. Say what you need to say, and then I'm going to sleep. Rodney said nothing, but John could hear him breathing, jagged, quiet. He watched the shifting patterns on the inside of his eyelids and tried to think about inventory, about grouping living quarters to better conserve heat. He was working on a preliminary strike plan for the next contract job when Rodney kissed his ear. Wait, McKay, you... Rodney kissed the edge of his cheek quickly, his mouth impossibly warm, a few fingers steady, gentle, on the nape of John's neck, sliding higher. I'm not in love with you, John said. That's okay, Rodney said hoarsely. He wrapped one hand around John's wrist and pulled him into a nervous, eager kiss, the knees banging together clumsily, Rodney's mouth soft on John's. And then he kissed the corner of John's mouth, his chin, his cheek. I don't even know that I like you that much, John said, just to feel Rodney's smirk bloom against his jaw. Rodney pinned his open hands against the bed and kissed his neck, tangled up his fingers in John's, and nuzzled at John's collarbone until John pulled his hands free and folded himself up around Rodney, pushed his nose into Rodney's temple, breathed easy. For God's sake, Rodney said, his voice muffled against John's cheek. Why didn't you ever say anything? I did, John said. Rodney was still breathing pretty hard. He'd gotten one hand under John's shirt, and his thumb traced over John's waist, tenderly along his lowest rib. John resisted the urge to slide down and press his mouth to Rodney's throat, to bite him a little. His knees were watery with relief or joy, happiness, some alien emotion he couldn't categorize. I said, and you said, oh. You said, see you around, Rodney said. After, yeah, but... Well, I wasn't listening, Rodney admitted. You were about to have sex with me. I was distracted. Oh, John said, and Rodney jerked the covers up around their shoulders, kissed John again in a billowy pocket of warmth and clean linen, deliberate and affectionate, his teeth so careful on John's lower lip. Right, so... And I shouldn't have said you were a shitty lay, he said. It was completely untrue, erroneous, in fact. An inaccurate exaggeration, and also not very nice. It's true you weren't, I mean, you were fine. Thank you, John said dryly, and Rodney obviously didn't care that he sucked in bed, because he clutched at John's shoulders when John rolled over on top of him, and mashed his face into Rodney's neck, slid hot hands down John's back, and got one hand in John's pants. And then there was a bad moment when they both almost fell off the bed, before Rodney yanked John back by his shirt. Okay, he said, one arm still locked around John's waist. So tell me. What? Right, Right, yes, of course. I should go first, Rodney said. Look, if your DNA got harvested to make babies with the ancient gene, I would steal and raise your kid. I would do fucked up sex stuff I hated if you wanted it. Because you kind of seem like, maybe, but, you know, never mind. I would voluntarily get into a physical fight for you with someone bigger than me. What? Hey, I'm trying to give you a heartfelt declaration of love here, Rodney said. I'm trying to... You love me, John said. Obviously, Rodney rolled his eyes, but only a little. Sorry you pined for 2 years. It was really just a sex thing for the first year, McKay, John said. He shifted his hips on top of Rodney and watched Rodney's mouth go slack. Or a head wound, Rodney said gamely. Right, head wound. But after that? Yeah, I was, John said, hesitating stupidly. I was... Shepherd, Rodney said. I'm trying to have a nice romantic evening here. We've had some pretty awful sex, which, okay, was possibly partly my fault. And we've had a fight. And now you've realised that fighting your tremendous hard-on for me is impossible. So quit being a pussy. You love me. Okay, John said. Stop forcing me to be the stable non-fuck-up, Rodney said, sounding almost worried. I think you'll find I'm not too good at it. You're doing all right, John said. You think? Rodney said. The sun was finally coming up. In the soft grey pre-dawn light, John could see that Rodney looked mollified. Yeah, John said. Rodney grinned and pulled his head down for a smacking kiss that got serious fast. Rodney's hands skimming roughly up under his clothes, his thigh rocking up between John's. I want to blow you, Rodney said, when John lifted his head to take a frantic breath. You don't have to. Shut the fuck up, Rodney said, and dumped him back on the bed, one hand flat on his chest. He reached down and yanked open John's pants, stuffed his hand inside John's underwear and jerked his dick. I wasn't going to say no, John said, his knees falling open. Rodney slid down under the blankets to blow him, his hands curved tightly over John's thighs, and after... Rodney climbed up on top of him and rubbed off against John's stomach, muttered quiet promises into John's neck, bit his collarbone. Oh, crap, I got cum on your sweater, he said blurrily afterwards, and then tucked his head against John's shoulder and fell asleep. That's okay, John said. Rodney was warm and heavy and gave great head, and was probably going to dump him. But John had always been good at ignoring inevitable disaster. Rodney sighed and pressed closer. John let himself put one hand on Rodney's hip. Why am I not raising my DNA harvested kid again? John said in the morning, scrubbing at the semen crusted on the bottom of his sweater. And then hypothetically, if you got hit in the head and incapacitated or had no arms... Or believed in astrology or whatnot, Rodney said. He finished lacing his boot. Are you ready yet? I guess. Be more sure, Rodney said, staring at him until John said, Christ, fine, I'm ready. John moved in with Rodney the next day, stopped by in the afternoon when he knew Rodney would be in the lab, and dumped a duffel bag full of clothes in Rodney's bottom dresser drawer. Found a place on the overburdened power strip for his laptop plug, brought over the pillow he'd been given on PX5168, which was soft and deep with plictic feathers. He worked late with Lorne in the greenhouse, staking seedlings and talking idly about changing up some of the teams. When he got back, Roddy had moved the pillow to his side of the bed and was dozing, face down, one hand still on his tablet. Oh, hey, he said without lifting his head. And then, hey, Do you want to have sex? And pulled John down into the bed and kissed his throat while John was still saying yes. It snowed in the night, a thick wet slush that froze over the Jumper Bay exit and the meteorological data collection tower, and made the shortcut between the living quarters and the new labs impassable. By the time he and Ronan and half a dozen Marines had chipped off the ice, it was nearly nightfall, and Rodney was working still. The next day, the weight of the snow dropped the city a foot and flooded 6 energy conduits. And by the time everything got straightened out, and John never wanted to see a bucket again in his life, Ronan and John had a contract job leading a hunting party on PX4581. When he got back, Rodney was wearing his socks. No cheating, John thought, the first month, the first two. No screwing around. No looking. No being an asshole. His instincts weren't the greatest. Without even trying hard, he could imagine 1,000 ways to screw it up with Rodney. He had a terrible, inglorious track record. Bad relationships followed by bad breakups. It probably would have been a good idea to keep his mouth shut. But if he messed it up, he wanted, at least, for Rodney not to be too surprised. Rodney, however, wouldn't be warned. He seemed to regard the whole thing as some kind of friendly competition, or possibly an attempt at foreplay. "So then you slept with her sister?" he'd say, pushing his thumb firmly into the arch of John's foot, until John's whole body twitched with pleasure. "Of course you did." "Yeah, well," John said. Rodney slid his thumb down slowly to put pressure on the stiff spot just above his heel and stroked his other hand over John's Achilles tendon. "It wasn't very nice," John mumbled. "No shit," Rodney said, grinning, bright-eyed. "Right, okay. Once, I dumped a girl with a post-it note on a paper of hers I was peer-reviewing." "Do you think about Earth?" Elizabeth said, tipping her head back on the couch, staring at the ceiling. No one said home anymore. "No," John said. There had been a monthly meeting, recurring, on their calendars to discuss Earthside rotations, developing political situations which might have an impact on their staff, personnel and equipment requisitions, issues which had mostly become obsolete or been reassigned to department heads. But John kept showing up, 1500 hours every fifth Thursday, because he didn't want to be the one to stop. Now and again they talked about work. "I slept with Ronan," Elizabeth said. "What?" John caught himself throwing up his hands the way Rodney did when he was uncomfortable or nervous, and forced himself to put them quietly on his knees. He wished Elizabeth had more friends. I know," she said. "I know." "Elizabeth." "On the one hand," she said, "why shouldn't I sleep with him? I never get to sleep with anyone. And I just wanted, I needed something," she said. "It'll be fine," John said. "I know you're lonely too," Elizabeth said. "Yeah," John said, but he wasn't, not even a little bit. Maybe sometimes they didn't have enough sex, or John moved things Rodney needed so he couldn't find them. And sometimes Rodney talked and talked and talked about his day while John was trying to read. And Rodney always said he wasn't hungry when John cooked up some noodles or seeded some sections of arrack fruit, but then ate 3/4 of it anyway. But he was easy to be with, easy to touch, unexpected. "Love you," John said on the comm once, absently signing off, the way they said it just before they fell asleep or when they weren't in danger. No one said anything, so he didn't realise he'd done it until hours later. "How do you feel?" Rodney murmured when they were fucking once, trying something new. John face down on the bed, his wrists tied above his head, Rodney's dick in his ass. "Grateful," John said without thinking about it. "You..." Rodney gasped against his neck, shoving John further down into the mound of pillows. "I was working up to telling you about how you were a dirty slut," he said. His cheek pressed stubble soft against John's spine. "You can still." "Me too. I'm grateful too," Rodney said quickly, wrapping his arm around John in a quick hug that pulled the tie around John's wrists. Rodney's bathrobe belt, almost painfully tight. Rodney's hips were moving still, little thrusts, almost there, teasing. And John groaned and bit his lip. "Maybe you want to move in?"
You don't have to decide right now, Rodney said, but I thought maybe.
"I'll think about it," John said.
"Sure," Rodney said.
He pulled out a little and traced his hands over John's waist and ass, his blunt fingernails leaving thin, shivery tracks of sensation on John's skin. John hooked one foot over Rodney's calf and pushed back against Rodney hard.
"Hey," Rodney said, "you know you're not really supposed to. This is against the spirit of the..."
John tightened his leg against Rodney's, trying to get more of him, and Rodney sighed deeply, and then yanked John back along the pillows until he was pinned between the tie holding his wrists, Rodney's heavy body, the cock in his ass, and Rodney's hand, low, tied on his hip. "Is this your pathetic way of asking for rough, kinky sex, or a spanking or what have you?"
"It's not."
"Then just be a man and ask for it."
"Fuck me," John said.
"Yeah, that's..." Rodney said. His next thrust lifted John's knees off the bed, and the one after that one dumped John awkwardly forward on the pillows, Rodney's thighs between his, forcing his legs wider. It wasn't really new to have Rodney on top of him, fucking him. It was what they did most of the time. John hadn't quite figured out if it was because it was what Rodney liked or what he liked, but he did like it. The way Rodney's hands cradled his ribs, his shoulders, the way Rodney's dick felt, working inside of him, unbearable, amazing. Rodney's fervent mouth on his skin.
"Wait," John said.
Rodney faltered, stopped.
"Are you hurt?" he said, his hand smoothing down John's shoulders.
"Are you..." "Look, I told you I needed to look up the knots before just tying some knot that'll cut off your circulation."
"I'll move in with you."
"Yes."
"Oh," Rodney said.
"Okay." John finally cracked when Rodney cleared off a shelf in the medicine cabinet for him. "You just wanted me to ask, right?" he said, picking up the jar of aspirin on the counter and centering it on his shelf. All his other bathroom stuff, toothbrush, razor, was jumbled in with Rodney's. He'd brought back the fingernail clippers he'd stolen from Rodney in the first place, and they shared the first aid stuff. Arnica, disinfectant, bandages.
"What's that?" Rodney said, already in the other room, shoving around in his closet and muttering to himself.
"I moved in with you 6 months ago," John said. Rodney's back went quiet. Then he turned around, still half in the closet.
"You didn't notice?" John said, faking a smile.
Rodney fixed him with a patient, puzzled stare.
"Would I have asked you to move in if I thought you already lived here?"
"Maybe, I don't."
"If you live here, where the hell is your stuff?" Rodney said. "All your books and pictures and stupid, huge surfing paraphernalia. Which I really don't get. Can you even surf at all?"
"My stuff is here," John said. "My laptop and clothes. And I sleep here every night and use your shower. What did you think?"
"I thought you liked having sex with me," Rodney said badly.
"And taking showers. Jesus Christ."
"Do you not want me to move in?" John asked carefully.
"You already live here," Rodney said.
"Remember?"
"I don't have to," John said.
"I want you to," Rodney said. It's just you might have mentioned. I didn't want to bother you, John said. You were trying to be helpful, Rodney said tightly. I see. You wore my socks. I thought they were mine. I thought you'd say no, John said quickly, like ripping a band-aid off. And you just wanted to be with me that badly, Rodney sneered, his mouth twisted into an incredulous, disbelieving shape. Fuck you, John said. Rodney didn't try to stop him when he left. It was John's day off. They'd gotten strict about downtime when people started having nervous breakdowns, which he'd meant to spend pretending to move and then fucking Rodney's brains out. Sleet was coming down hard outside, pinging against the windows and roofs in a monotonous, uncertain rhythm, and Ronan had learned to ask, "What's wrong?" when someone looked upset, probably from Elizabeth. So a run was out, and he didn't want to be anywhere where Rodney might find him. Finally, he just ended up in the fifth-level common room, trying to get drunk on 2 bottles of cider he'd been hiding in his old room for a special occasion. Booze was hard to come by on Atlantis, which meant everyone had become a lightweight. But John was barely tipsy by the time Rodney showed up, his eyes tired and solemn. He stared at John for a long time, just outside the doorway, the door hanging and stuttering, gently trying to close between them. "You just wanted to be with me that badly," he said finally. "What tipped you off?" John muttered, taking another swig of cider. Rodney came inside, the door coming together behind him with a satisfied click, stepped around coffee table and sat down next to him, sighed. "Sorry," John said. "What? No, I like this fight," Rodney said. It was a long couch, but Rodney was sitting close enough that their knees bumped. "We've had it before. I don't have to worry about what to say. I always hurt your feelings." "My feelings are fine," John said. "I've never lived with anyone before," Rodney said. John waited for him to look sideways, but Rodney just stared down at his knees, frowning slightly. I thought we'd have a lot of sex and it wouldn't work out, and I'd still love you. And everyone would say, look at McKay, what an idiot, fucking it up with Colonel Shepherd. Or not even know we'd been... He shrugged. I didn't know we were going to maybe work out. No, John said. You mean no as in I'm screwing it up and you're going to move out? Or no, like I'm the greatest love of your life and you're going to stop telling me beautiful stories about all the times you screwed women over? You're the great love of my life, John said. The cider was stronger than he thought. Look, Rodney said, bring over some more of your stuff. I have everything I need, John said. You don't even have all your clothes. I meant in a romantic way, jackass, John said. I knew that, Rodney said. And that's the end of Your Inevitable Unhappy Ending by Helen.